Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Final hour of Ben and Woods here on a Tuesday. Just a reminder, our biggest fan contest is returning on January 27th. That's in less than 2 weeks. The grand prize, a spectacular night in the Odyssey Suite.
Woo!
That's at a Padres game. 20 tickets for you and your friends to enjoy it luxuriously. Watch a Padres game, and all you need to do to enter is register your name at 97.3thefansd.com/biggestfan, and then start listening on December or January 27th, and we'll start announcing names. So during our show at 9 a.m., during the Annie and Elston program at 1 p.m., and then during the Gwen and Chris show at 5:30 p.m. every day, three chances to hear your name. If you do, you'll get a chance to call back and then qualify for the grand prize drawing. But right now, simple. Just put your name into the hopper by going to 97.3thefansd.com/biggestfan, and that's the way that you can get into our contest, our biggest fan contest.
I love the biggest fan, and if for all the people that have won it, you'll love
just
it.
Ask them.
Time of your life. Time of your life.
I'm told our special guest is on his way up, so
yes.
That should be here in just a couple of minutes.
My heart's racing.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Nervous.
Very excited. Have that all kind of awkward moment where now we have to
We're like on
greet
the air.
Him in on the air,
oh,
but just
knows,
have to
he knows all about
bear with
moments.
Us. Yeah, well, you do know that he is well aware of all the intricacies of radio.
Like, there's nothing that we
will
encounter that he has not already dealt with.
Interesting.
How many years was he on
like
in the mornings?
Yeah. Like 30 years.
At least, I think.
It's insane. I'm coming up on 15. On February 1st is my 15th year in San Diego radio, which is amazing to think about. And I can't even fathom doing that twice. Hey, when I get to February 1st, you go, hey, buddy, you're halfway home. That's nuts.
So in March, will this be our 8th anniversary as a show together?
Seventh
year as a show together coming up in March. And I'll tell you what, it's taken most of that time just to kind of develop the... the chemistry that you need to have, so it is pretty amazing to have that kind of longevity. There he is. He's walking into the studio. I will say that when I was a younger broadcaster, I worked in the same building with our next guest. I don't know that I ever actually spoke to him. I think I was a little too nervous to do so. Time passed him in the hallway certainly a few times, but mostly kept my eyes to the carpet and just kept to my own business. But it is a pleasure to welcome and introduce a San Diego radio legend joining us here on Ben and Woods this morning, Dave Rickards of the DSC program.
Well, thank you.
That voice,
there it is.
What a guy. Thank you so much. What do you mean, eyes to the ground?
I didn't speak to you much, if at all.
Why?
Over my was nervous.
He's nervous.
Honestly,
intimidating.
You haven't. I mean, not because you had a bad reputation, but I knew that you had a big show, and I had no business as a young nobody broadcaster speaking to one Dave Rickards.
I've got that dick look on my face all the time. Don't
well, I get
talk
that too
to me.
Now. I get that too from other people.
No one
talks to me either. So
well,
I don't know why.
This has been a long time in the making.
I've been trying to get you on this show for the last couple of years now.
Or on the golf course.
Or on the golf course, one of the two. Yeah. I feel like I'm better in here. Mickey would impress you a little more in here than out there. He would impress you on the golf course.
Oh, yeah?
Dave. Right? He's a stick.
He's a player.
He's a stick. How have you been?
Great. Very good. Other than, these damn fires, they drive me crazy. Oh, we had a little tiny little spark out by my house today, and I called your man Paulie and I said, I don't know if I'm coming in because everyone's watching this app like crazy. Everyone's on edge. My kids live up right by the fires up in L.A. right now. So it's been that's been no fun. But other than that, everything's good. Retirement is everything it's cracked up to be.
Well, and so that's kind of where I wanted to start. Goose and I here would like to thank you for losing your edge and turning in your wings when you did, because without that happening, we would not have been able to go to Top Gun. We never would have gotten a ratings bonus. And since you've left, we've been bonused every quarter. So, I want to thank you again.
Congratulations.
For letting us slide into your spot.
Thanks, Merlin.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Merlin.
Cougar lost the turn of his wings. You guys are number
I'm telling
you two characters.
Going to Top Gun.
Going to Top Gun. I can't believe what I'm going
to
say.
I can't believe what I'm about to do here.
I love that.
Ben will Venmo you your royalties.
Oh, right on.
I remember I was sitting in here that morning, and I just flipped. I flipped, and it was sad, and it was happy for you because I know what a grind it can be. Mm. And then I was obviously happy for myself because I thought, well, because, you know, we love to compete, right? We were competition and all pulling for the same ears. And with podcasting now, people can go, they can listen to you guys live, come and listen to us later. It happens. There's a lot more, sharing of audience, but when you're in the morning radio arena, you know this, you want every listener. You want every single one. You want loyalty. You don't want them going anywhere else. And when you guys left, I went, all right, boys, like, we got to step our game up now, and we have a shot. And it's been great. Obviously, your voice is
good
missed.
Good for you, man. That's awesome.
It's been great. So thank you again for retiring. My family thanks you. My kids thank you. My wife thanks you.
Well, you're lucky because that would happen with me. Some big shows would move on or retire or whatever, and I would tell my crew, okay, now we've got to pick up where they left off. Nothing happened. Zero. No movement. Nothing. I'm like, where'd they go? Where did the audience go? So nothing. Not to us, that's for sure.
Dave Rickards joins us now, and it's funny. I've thought this about you for many, many years, and you can answer if this is a myth or if it's reality. You obviously have the talent to work in any market that you want to. And I always wondered, how many offers did you get over the years to move different places? And is the reason you stayed because, well, look outside, it's San Diego.
So I worked a lot of places. I worked, I started in, when I was a kid, I was working in Chicago. And then finished college, went to Milwaukee, then Indianapolis, then back to Chicago, then Denver, and then here in 1990. And in those times, yeah, I had a lot of... the only way to get ahead was to go get a job offer. That was the only way. And I was never... I always was excited about moving to a different place. I loved going to a new town. So the places I didn't go were Tampa, Houston, Boston. I forget. There was Raleigh. I forget. There were a few other places. And that was the only way that you could get a job offer or to get ahead at where you were, at least for the companies I worked for. The only way you were going to get a raise is to threaten to leave. So, and then sometimes they say, well, there's the door. Be on your way. Forget it. Go take that job offer.
And then you got here and started to establish yourself and your show.
I interviewed in this studio.
Really?
We were offered... your show.
Oh, my God. I had
many,
no idea.
Many years ago. Yeah.
Oh, when it flipped to that machine thing?
I think it was... No, it was going to be... I'm not...
No, it was like two weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. They interviewed. Hey, these guys are now they're back. Out. And they're in mornings here on 97.3 The Fan.
Surprise!
Yeah.
No. See you later, everybody.
This place was just being built. They weren't in here yet.
Yeah, we weren't either.
I saw this room as it was being built. And we were always struggling for our job. Even, when we were doing fine, we were always like, well, I don't know if they're going to hire us again. I don't know if they're going to sign us to another contract. So, you know, we were always talking to other people. And I remember being in here, and we were coming over here. There was a guy who worked here who was running this place that I loved, Bob Bollinger.
I love Bob, yep.
You know, I'd go to work again for Bob in a heartbeat. Yep. I love that guy. And he was inviting us over here, and I don't know. The launch on this place seemed a little bit sideways. There were some funky people who were working here, and then they brought in some big executive from New York, and I failed the interview with him, and they're like, take a hike. And
wow. That's insane.
We were always desperately trying to get a job, even at our own radio station.
That's the truth.
It's true. It's the nature of the business.
It's truth, yeah.
The Voice doesn't need much introduction, but we've got Dave Rickards in studio from the DSC program. We have a lot of DSC listeners who are in with us in our chat right now, and I think they'd like to know. Caught up on all of your radio colleagues. How's everybody doing? What are you up to? Just kind of where's life
stand?
They're
in the wind. They're gone.
They're gone.
Never
heard
from
Chain in years.
Nah, he's gone.
Where is he?
I don't know. I don't know. He could be next door. He could be in Taiwan. I have no idea. Haven't heard from him since. Boyer from time to time.
Oh, my God.
I ran into Shelley at Costco. I talked to Sarah from time to time, and that's it. The big man, the dean of American sportscasters. I question if, was it a dream? Am I Pamela Ewing waking up?
Yeah.
Or Bobby Ewing, whatever, who had the dream? Was it Pamela Ewing on Dallas? Did it ever happen?
Bobby, yeah.
Yeah. He's just gone.
Holy cow.
Yeah, he's gone.
Woods knows that when our time comes, whenever it is.
I'll never hear from him again. Paulie and I will be brothers until the day we die. I will never hear from Ben again. Ever. Which is wild to me.
Our fans would always say, what do you guys do after the show? Do you all hang out? I mean, do you go to lunch? It's like, no.
Gone. See you later. And, you know, we love each other desperately. And we'd get to, you know, we would start our day early. We'd be there long before 6 o'clock started. Yep. And we were there together for a long time. We were together for 33 years.
Wow.
And, you know, when the show was done, if someone said, hey, I'm having a party, or like in my case, I'm getting married, they'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Do I have to come? You know, do I have to come to that? You know, we did not want to hang out together after the show.
It's interesting, though, because you spend more time with your radio co-hosts than you do with your spouse.
Yep.
Your kids.
Yeah, that's right.
You really do. You don't think about it. Do you talk to your significant other 4 straight hours at any point? Maybe 4 hours a week.
Maybe.
God,
no.
Maybe. At most, you don't.
Now, we lay next to each other and scroll our phones together, but we don't really speak. Yeah. Like, really, ever after the kids are asleep.
It's an intimate relationship to be on the air with someone for that long, that many hours.
And people look at you when you say this, like, no, I don't talk to them. I don't know where they are. I literally don't know what state he lives in. So, wow, maybe they didn't get along. So, no, we get along fine.
Yeah.
We got along when we were working together, and then we went our separate ways, and that was probably the key ingredient to getting along.
It's the most important thing, and people ask us the same question, and we actually do hang out a little bit outside of work. We play golf together.
Woods makes me.
I force him to do it. It's important, you know, for the chemistry of the show. And I also genuinely love these guys and love their company, but it's true. Like, the intimate relationship that you have is a weird one. You always care how they're doing. You don't need to be involved in every intimate detail of their life.
Right.
You know, you just don't.
Do you remember the PD phrase, clock integrity? It's time to take a break.
Clock integrity.
I never paid attention to anything.
Yeah, we never did.
We got to check traffic. Woods has got to do a little spot here. We got Dave Rickards in studio. We'll get some more stories. We mentioned the one legendary April Fool's Day prank. We were wondering how much trouble you actually got in for that one. We'll talk about that coming up. First, here's Woodsy.
If you're a California sports fan, good news. Underdog is available to play in your state. That's our state. We can now play Underdog, the best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going off, which ones are ice cold. Based on some of my recent performances, I need to spend a little bit more time in the Underdog app this week. I was just looking at the games ahead this weekend. Like, will Patrick Mahomes throw an interception? I think he will. I'm gonna take one, you know, over half of an interception. But with their pick 'em game, you could win up to 1,000 times your money. All you got to do, choose higher or lower on player stats, yards, touchdowns, picks, and more. So Underdog, again, the best place to play pick 'em. Download the app today. You can sign up with the promo code Woods when you sign up. Please deposit now. You'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Woods when you sign up. Must be 18 and over. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My wife is in the chat. She says, I've known Steven for 11 years. This is the moment he's been waiting for all 11 of those years and beyond. And she knows you are very revered in the Woods household by me. Dave Rickards joins the Ben and Woods program today.
She's a cookie. I like
she
that
is,
girl.
She is, man. She is something else. She's also a huge, huge fan as well.
Likewise.
So, yeah.
How did the process work for you guys? I mean, I know it's taken us years just to figure out our process. I don't know if we've even figured out our process yet. But when you were like putting together a show, daily morning show, hours, how many hours were you on? Four or five?
Four. Well, we never, at 10 o'clock didn't mean anything to us. We'd go until we were
done.
Yeah,
you could just keep going.
Yeah.
We're a little more on the
We're trying to get out at 9, actually. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, well, they'll cut your pay if you do that, so don't let them talk into that.
How did your process work?
So, when we were dialed in, it was kind of a follow the leader kind of a thing. I would come in, and I had a plan for the day in my head. And whether the plan worked out or not, everyone got in line and followed me. My mantra was support the host, whatever I'm doing, get behind me and just follow me in. And, 4 times a morning, support the host became, let's see what Chainsaw is doing, because he was in his own world.
And every morning at 6, 7, 8, and 9:20, he was doing his sports. And that was, I had nothing to do with that unless he invited me in or I gave him an idea, something like that. But he was his own satellite going around our show.
That's amazing. That's, yeah. Support the host, Ben.
And you support the host.
I will support the host. I feel like I do support the host.
You do support the host. You're very supportive.
And for and for many years, Chainsaw stayed kind of that satellite just going around the show. He would just drop in. But around, I'm going to say around 98, 2000, something like that, he decided, okay, it's all right for me to get on the radio without a script. I'll join the talk radio guys. Because Chainsaw was all written out. He was very carefully, you know, his process, his preparation was precise. And just coming on and talking like you guys do every day, which is a skill that most people don't have, he was reluctant to be part of that. But once he got into it, he loved it.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
I, you know, and I think it's important for Woods and I that we want to be ourselves. You know, our honest self. And Woods gave me some great advice when we started this show. I still think about it almost every single day. Be yourself, but just like plus 10%. Just, yep. You know, just amplify your beliefs, your quirks. Just let it loose. And it was such a freeing moment for me. Do you feel like you were true to yourself?
Oh, yeah.
On the radio
every day.
100%. Yeah.
It's so much easier to do that rather than to sit there and work at what kind of a persona am I trying to be? Because most people are alike. And if you start talking about some stupid problem you're having at home, 50% of the people listening to you are going, oh, I'm going through that right now, too.
Well, did you find it hard? 7 years ago when we started, I was a bit more vociferous. And I think as I look back on it now, more performative. But I didn't mean to. It's genuinely how I felt in the time. But I've had kids.
Vociferous and performative?
He was an English major.
I thought I was on a sports station. What am I, in PBS? What the hell is going on?
So I would...
Do you ever make the loud noises and the hurrahs?
I would get mad and I would pound the table. And then I've gotten older. I've had kids. I feel like I'm a little bit wiser. And I'm like, can I be the new me? You were always honest about like your personal struggles and things like that. You were always very open about your sobriety and things like that. Do you find it harder as you got through your career of like, oh, I need to act more like the old Dave? Or no, this is the new Dave. You guys can either like it or not.
No, and you'll watch this happen with your career. You start out when you're a young guy and you're appealing to the young people. And then you get married and you have kids and you're appealing to the middle crowd. And then you get a little bit older and all of a sudden the 25, 54 people fall madly in love with you. So as you get a little bit older, your audience is getting older with you. It works out great.
I know this is going to come as a shock to our tier ones, but Woods has always pushed me a little bit beyond where I've comfortable as a sports guy, TV guy. I'm more buttoned up, and he always wants, let's take some chances. Let's do some things that are a little on the edge.
That's him in a mesh shirt.
Nice.
I like that. That's a good look. I like that.
Thank you.
Let me see that again. I might want to push my button.
I like that. Is that amazing?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So you guys took some chances on the DSC show. One of them, a legendary April Fool's Day prank, when you convinced a good portion of San Diego that the space shuttle was going to land right over here at Montgomery Field. Tell me about that story. The
origin,
the fallout, and what exactly happened.
So April 1st is our show anniversary. That's our first day, April 1st, 1990. And so we consider that our high holy holiday, and we treated April Fool's Day as an opportunity to try and pull off a gag. And we did probably 7 or 8 really good April Fool's Day jokes, but nothing compared to landing the space shuttle, which I think that was in 92 or 93, which is when we peaked, and it was all downhill for the next 30 years after that. But, you know, it was one of those, if you saw it, if you were in the studio watching it, it was the most basic chewing gum and baling twine thing held together, the dumbest little thing put together that just lightning in a bottle got captured that day. And we just started the morning by saying, hey, it's not an emergency, but there was a problem at Edwards Air Force Base where the space shuttle normally lands. Who knew that Montgomery Field was the backup? Because it's so close.
Yeah.
They had some sort of power failure up there. So they're going to land the space shuttle here today. It's pretty cool. When are we going to get a chance to see that again? So if you want to see the space shuttle land, Montgomery Field this morning. And we faked up some phone calls and made it sound like it was really happening. And then we had just a ton of people out there to watch it happen. And right when the shuttle was about to touch down, Chainsaw, who was Commander Burns, is the so-called commander of the space shuttle, said, "Has anyone said April Fool's Day?"
Oh, my God.
It was fun. It was a fun little gag, and the media picked up on it. Next thing I know, we were on CNN Headline News, and then all the guys and women who follow us in the Navy and the Marines were sending us newspapers from overseas. And you got to remember, this is before the internet and before email and all that kind of. So newspapers were still important. So we're seeing these headlines in these newspapers from everywhere, from France to Saudi Arabia, about this gag that we pulled. I'm playing the tape on CNN because, look at me. I made CNN. It's a big deal. Meanwhile, the president of our company and the general manager of our company are losing their minds. They're absolutely losing their minds. And as far as I can tell, the biggest complaint that they had was they might have to pay the police for parking. This is what they kept saying. They kept saying, do you realize that we're going to possibly have to pay the police? And it's like, what are you talking about? They had to send police out there to direct traffic. And I said, that's their job. They do that every day. And, of course, no bill came from police.
Yep.
And, I don't know how many times and how many radio stations our managers have said, we're going to lose our license. We're not going to lose our license. No one's ever lost their license in the history of broadcasting. Jesus, settle down.
They hold that over your head a lot in this business.
They do.
We're going to lose our license.
We're going to lose our license. And I got to tell you, one of the radio stations I worked for, in the last, 10, 15 years, something like that, the closest we came to losing our license was her fault because she was a convicted felon. And you're not allowed to hold a broadcast license when you're a convicted felon. And she sat us down. She sat us down in the conference room one day when Boyer decided to show his nuts on CBS TV. This is 5 minutes after I told Boyer, when you go in there, don't do anything stupid. Be cool. Just sit there. In fact, don't talk. Don't even look at the cameras. This is when we were working at an AM/FM TV station. We would do this cross promote. And I sent Boyer, and Boyer heard me say, I said, don't do anything stupid. And he heard me go, I better show my nuts on TV.
Oh, my God.
And so he did. And, the camera tilted right up, and he started jumping up to get his nuts up into the camera shot. So we get called in to the owner/manager's office, and she's like, we're probably going to lose our license over the da-da-da-da. Nothing happened. She was the one who called the FCC and said, one of our guys showed his nuts. I was like, are you crazy?
Oh, my God.
Well, we got to get out in front of this. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't know anything about it. You get behind it. You hide.
Hide.
You tell people.
Don't answer the phone.
Nothing happened.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't do anything like that. And, of course, she goes on to be a convicted felon, and she's the one who was going to cost us the license. We never got fined a day in our lives.
That's so refreshing to hear, because I'm threatened all the time by management here, and now you've just taken the reins off of me, Dave Rickards.
Damn
thank
right.
you.
We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we've got one more segment with Dave Rickards. I want to hear about some of the interviews, guests that have stood out over the years.
Radio beef. Things like that.
I know
favorite.
You want to hear about that
hear
as
about
well.
All of it.
First, you want to get in the action with Prize Picks. It is fantasy. It is daily fantasy, but they have got it right. 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings, and you can win up to 1,000 times your cash simply by picking more or less on between 2 and 6 player stat projections in whatever sport you're watching, whether it's football playoff season, basketball's going on right now, hockey, soccer's about to get started here. They have lineups that you can set every single day, as many as you like, as few as you like. You play the way you want to play, and it's so easy to sign up. All you have to do, go to their website, download the app at prizepicks.com. When you do, use our code KWFN. You're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's a lot of free play to get you started. Build up a little bit of a bankroll by using the code KWFN. Get your $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. It's very easy to upload. They've got MasterCard, Venmo, Apple Pay. You win. It's really easy to get your money back in your account. I've already done it a few times. I've been up for this last year. Just really having fun with it. You can do the same with Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Stories keep flowing. Unfortunately, we do have to take a couple of breaks, but we're done with those until the end of the show, coming up at 10 o'clock, Annie and Elston. We got Dave Rickards in studio from the legendary DSC program, over 30 years on the air here in San Diego. I listened, you know, growing up, going to school in the morning. You probably don't like hearing that.
No, I love it. I love it. No, I do. I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but I mean,
look. You're not that much older than I am, but right. I did listen, you know, driving to high school in the mornings. And
no one avoids, no one avoids Father Time. That's okay. It's just, it's so cool, actually, when you run into people who are 45 years old and their kids aren't even kids anymore. And they're like, I listen to you. In the back seat when my parents were driving me, and sometimes we had to turn the radio off. And you look at these people, it's like, wow, I've been part of their life. They've been part of my life for a long time. It's cool. I'm down with it. Anybody who tells you otherwise is stupid. They've missed the gift. Honestly,
it is. It is a gift.
Forget that. I mean, everybody ages. Everyone gets old, and that should be a good thing for you.
The alternative is something that's you definitely right. don't want.
I don't
so,
want
you
that.
Know, there mm-hmm. you go. So, I wanted to ask you about some of your interviews that you did over the years. Like, who was like? I think as a host, you always feel like, all right, that was pretty cool that I had a chance to talk to so and so. What are the ones that stand out in your mind from your radio career?
It might be a disappointment because I am such a rocket head. I mean, I just love space, flight, moon, exploration, stuff like that. So talking to Alan Shepard, Apollo 12.
Wow.
Apollo 14. Guy who walked on the moon. That to me, you know, he was part of the Gemini and the Mercury program and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know if there's any... I don't know if there's any guys left who actually walked on the moon. And so that was a personal thrill for me. He was super cool. You know, there's nothing like, as you guys know, there's nothing like having someone that you're really looking forward to come into the studio and they're down. They're super cool.
They get it.
Yeah.
And athletes are tough because very few of them get it. Especially the bigger they are, the less they get it. Right?
I'm generally not looking forward to athletes.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to hang with anyone but athletes.
Yeah.
Which I'm not.
Right.
Not at all. And I have so much experience with athletes and whatever it is in their culture and their life, they really, I mean, I've watched this so many times, they really only want to hang with other professional athletes.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's their choice. That's their whole thing. But they just don't want anything to do with me. And it's drag when someone comes into your studio and you're like, they're doing this because they have to. And it's like, oh, God, I'm going to make this as easy for you, quick as possible. But every one of my interviews that I liked, that I enjoyed, the thing that bugged me about it is I'd run out of time.
Yes.
I want you for an hour.
Yeah.
I want you for 2 hours.
With no breaks.
None. I don't want to stop.
No.
Forget it.
No one wants us to stop.
It
this
kills,
is great talk.
Kills the momentum. It's why, you know, Stern's successful where he's successful because he can go for 2 hours. And you look up and you go, I just listened to him interview Eddie Vedder for 2 hours straight, 2.5 hours, and they didn't have to take a break or anything like that. The momentum flow, you know, continues to go. It's incredible. And it makes it tough. You had, all right, I got 7 minutes with this guy. So how was last night's game? Like, what are you looking forward to? It really, which is why and we fight tooth and nail about this. I'm like, I don't want any interviews. No more. I'd rather just talk and shoot the breeze.
Two guys who were great, who broke that mold that I was talking about, were Tony and Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor's amazing.
I love those guys
because
they were fun. And Tony, I've never known a more generous athlete interview guy in my day. He was the best.
He had a hard time saying no to interviews.
Yeah,
right?
He was so good.
He would do tons. And, of course, we get to work with his son here, who's awesome. And Dave Rickards joins us in studio. So, listen, the radio business can be a little bit bitchy at times. Shows get bitchy with each other. Shows get bitchy with each other in the same building.
Mm.
But when it's your competition, who when you look back at your career, did you go, oh, God, we had beef with them.
Oh, Jeff and Jer. Jeff and Jer.
And would you say it on the air?
Oh, yeah.
Because I always have a hard time. Shows take shots, and I have a hard time punching back. I don't have a hard time punching back. I don't punch first, though.
Mm.
That's the thing. Like, so you would take shots at them.
I would, but you know, that all comes from insecurity and fear because I couldn't beat those guys for 10 years, our first 7, 8, 10 years, something like that, before we could get ahead of Jeff and Jer. So that was all insecurity on my part. I was mad. I was angry. I was convinced they were paying.
people.
They're cheating somehow.
No,
PEDs.
They didn't deserve the success that they had, all that stuff. So, yeah, I was a jerk to them. I was an absolute jerk to them. And Jeff in particular, I think, is probably, I think inside he's probably the nicest guy.
Yeah.
He really is. And when we got brought together in the same company, and I was sitting in the program director's office before our first show, and Jeff walked in and sat down and tried pulling off a little gag, and I was really, really starstruck and insecure, and I didn't get it, and the poor guy went out of his way to say hello, and I'm like, I don't want anything to do with you. Get away from me. You know, I wanted to kick his ass.
That's amazing.
I was not good to him. I wasn't.
That's incredible. Yeah. And you can admit it now.
I have no other way. There's no other way. If I went back 20 years ago or whatever that was, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's just my way.
That's just the way.
Yeah. I always am I'm hesitant when Woods mentions any other radio station at all.
I really don't talk about other stations.
Don't talk about anybody else.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of people don't
hey,
like that.
There's nothing that exists outside of this studio, right? Uh-huh. We're our own universe.
You weren't dating men before me. I don't want to hear your body
exactly.
count.
Yeah. But Woods is a little more he's honest about everything. It truly is one of his greatest strengths. He can talk about his life, anything, with such honesty and openness. It's shocking to me even sometimes.
Well, look at my heroes. Huh? I mean, he's one of them's right here.
Yeah. And you did the same thing, Dave.
I heard him playing coy about how the button works. I mean, he hasn't talked about where it is and how it works. Well, where is it? You know damn well where that button is.
The minute I need that is, it takes two to tango, as they say. If I tried to pitch once or twice a day to my missus, it's not happening. That button or not, it's not happening. Two kids, seven, there's no way. You don't even want to. You're exhausted all the time.
You don't practice falconry.
There's no falconry? No, definitely not.
Who knew that that was the new rock star?
I know, right?
Andy said, come home smelling like dead mice and feathers all the time.
Andy says in the chat, I'm sure it's hell for hosts, but radio rivalries are so entertaining. They absolutely are.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely are.
Talking to Dave Rickards, this guy here is always trying to dream up the next bit, the next potential memorable segment. You guys had some on your program. I want to ask you about a couple of your favorites. First, quick check of traffic with Kelly Danick here on 97.3 The Fan. I feel like you, a lot of consternation. We've had Don't Do This on our show forever. You know, we got our game, Take on Woods. You're always trying to think of what's the next thing. You had some famous ones. People are in the chat sharing some of their favorites, like Lash Wednesday.
Oh, Lash Wednesday's a genius.
What were some of the origins? What were some of your favorite, your regular bits over the years on DSC?
Those were great. And some insane things happened during Lash Wednesday. What people will call up and tell you, you know, my whole, the stupid bit was I pretended to be this radio reverend. You call me up, you confess to me your sin, and here's two tickets to the laser Pink Floyd show or something.
Yeah, Circus Vargas. Here
garbage
you go.
Like enjoy. That. Yeah. And sometimes people, so the takeoff was like confessional. And sometimes people would call up and tell me something. And they're talking to a guy with a 50,000-watt transmitter, and then later on down the line, when they get in trouble, it occurs to them, wait a minute, this wasn't a secret? It's like, no,
you're on the radio.
Yeah. You're on the air. So that was always a big surprise to them. You talked about the space shuttle landing. That was a throwaway bit. We thought that this would just be something fun to do. We had no idea that it would turn into the monumental thing that it was. Doing the joke of the day, that, to me and Chainsaw and Boyer in particular, that was a thrill for us because we're all fans of 1940s and 1950s radio, which was real theater.
Yeah.
And that was an opportunity to work as a performer, as an actor, with sound effects and all that other kind of stuff. So we really highly produced those things. We had a lot of fun putting those
You're like
together.
Those guys who recreated the radio baseball broadcast.
Yeah.
You have to hit the bat and you have the sound of the cheering and stuff because they're not really there.
Uh-huh.
And they're creating it. All theater of the mind, all from scratch.
Yeah. And we love doing that.
It's so hard to stay creative. And when you think about being creative, you can't be creative. It's this personal hell that I live in almost on a daily basis because I don't want to do the normal thing, right? Of, oh, let's talk to the beat writer for this college and we're playing this team and let's talk to their beat writer. Sometimes it's good if you have a good relationship with them and you know they're good on the air.
Yeah.
But I like to do things differently. We have done things differently. But, you know, for you, man, putting this as the leader of that program,
How daunting was it for you on a daily basis to be like, all right, because I asked you about this. We went and had coffee. Dave was kind enough. I was up for a job at 91X, and I really wanted it badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it, but I ended up getting this soon after, and so it all worked out. But the thought of being able to carry a show is so daunting, and then to have to do it every single day. Creatively, what? How did you do it?
Dave, you should see this man. When Ben takes one day off, he forgets when we go to break.
Oh, I forget. Traffic. I forget all of
He's
it.
He's like,
man.
Do we have traffic? What are we doing here?
I'm a wreck.
Well, it would be a mistake to not respect everybody's position.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your spot. Ben's got his spot. And that's why you guys fit together so well. But it is a fit. You're piece in the jigsaw puzzle, and that's what works so well. And when your piece is gone, it's incomplete.
Yeah, very much so.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Think about taking Kramer off Seinfeld.
Right.
Something would be wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, it's absolutely right. But when
you talk about 91X, 91X is a great radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But they should stop talking to people like me and to you about bringing in a highly produced, highly creative morning show. They should just be a music radio station. I don't know what it is. They've got a hard on over there. Maybe we could have a great radio. Stop doing that. Just be a music radio station. This is a ton better fit for you over here.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But Dave was kind enough to join me and you know, teach me a little bit of wisdom. And, you know, you're telling me about kind of your process every day of planning the show. You go out under your deck and sit down. And before it was, you know, maybe pour a vodka cranberry or something and get into it. But once you got sober, you know, going out and sitting on the deck, trying to figure out the four-hour show the next day, it is a daunting process.
That's the work. That's the work. And towards the end of my career, sitting down after dinner every night, you know, eating dinner earlier than I wanted
about four.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know
and
it
then,
well.
And then sitting down to work on that stuff, you know, it got harder and harder to put all that show prep together as the ensemble crew diminished. More and more of that became my responsibility. And that is when I started going, I'm not sure if I really want to do this too much longer.
Yeah.
Doing show prep at night. My night was toast.
It's not my favorite.
I'd go home. I'd have lunch. I'd take, you know, I'd take 10 minutes to myself just to close my eyes.
Press the button a couple times. I get it. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'd go outside. That was something I discovered late in my career. I'd go outside for 2 hours, be outside hiking, climbing, doing that kind of stuff. And then I get back. It's like, it's time to put tomorrow on together. Nothing gave me more fear and anxiety than going to bed at night going, I'm not ready for
tomorrow. I'm not prepared.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah. I kind of like it sometimes. I need it sometimes.
Mm.
But it's, I like the live aspect of it, the fly by the seat of your pants. But you do have to have watched the game, or you do have to have read something, have some insight on what you're going to be talking about. Some days I fall short miserably, but you know, you give it the old college try, but it is daunting.
The thing that I would run into all the time is I would have a bit there, and the night before I'm like, this is going to kill.
Yeah.
And I'd get there the next flop. Nothing. It goes nowhere. Well, what do I do now? Now, I mean, I was counting on that.
Yes.
10 minutes later, we're talking about something that becomes the bit that carries us for 3 hours that I thought was garbage that we'd throw away. And that would happen more times than I could possibly count on.
I love that.
Did you have to, you had to serve sort of Polly's role as well, right? You were in some of the controls and pushing some of the...
Oh, I did them all.
I wouldn't let anybody touch them. That's what I thought. You know, what was that aspect of it like also in, including...
Just, ego and power and just maniac.
We're lucky. We have Pauly, who's a whiz on, I mean, we don't have to look at him. I mean, we think it and he's already pushing the right buttons, which is amazing.
You can't buy that. You can't buy that kind of talent. That kind of just, that ethereal connection that you've got like that. And I love production values. I loved mixing and doing all that crap and being in control. And, you know, in my mind, no one could do it better than I could do it. So I had to be in charge of that.
Dave Rickards joins us from the DSC and now. So doing some podcasting.
Yes.
And it's a totally different medium.
It is.
Totally different. Mm-hmm. Now, you get to say curse words, which is very attractive to me. Very attractive.
It is, but that is by far not the best part of podcasting. Podcasting, to me, is a lot like radio, obviously, for obvious reasons. But, you don't have to deal with the difficulties that everybody has to deal with. Big corp, you know, everyone who's going to going to work today in a big corporation, having to deal with all the middle management and all that kind of nonsense. Podcasters can often be their own bosses. And, you know, all you answer to is the sponsors. And I never had a problem with sponsors. I loved going out to meet clients with our sales team. Later in my career, I got into that. I really enjoyed that kind of thing. So being away from the corporate stuff is a breath of fresh air.
I love dealing with middle management and corporations.
Do you
it's
now?
Really my favorite part.
He's really good at it. Me, not so much, but he's really good at it.
So I got hooked up with Mike Costa, who's been around for a long time.
I've worked with Mike.
And my last program director, Shauna Moran.
I love Shauna.
And she's the Frankenstein who put this thing together. She called me up one day and said, what if we do a radio show together? And in my head, I'm going, that sounds awful. This isn't going to work.
You were my boss. Adam, our boss, I don't want to do a podcast with Adam.
I'm like, you're not a broadcast, you're a program director. Program directors are the worst. They're the absolute worst people on the face of the earth. They suck. I hate program. This ain't gonna work, but you know, I got nothing else to do. Let's at least get together and have lunch. So we got together and I was like, well, that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was gonna be. So we decided, let's do a little practice thing. We'll Zoom and we'll see if we got any kind of chemistry, which we won't, because chemistry, like you two guys have, you can't put a dollar figure on that. And I was like, this is going to be terrible. Sean is going to suck. Costa, he's just awful. I mean, we did this show. I was like, wow, that's a show that people who've been together for 5 years were doing right there. So one thing leads to another. Next thing I know, we got a podcast.
I love it, man. I love it.
And they're great. They're really great.
They're great people. I know them both very well. Shauna hired me for, you know, a part-time role over there. And again, it was not getting that gig there, which I thought was going to be the end of my world. And I almost walked away from radio and was going to quit. My wife wouldn't let me. She would not let me quit. And then that's when I met Ben. And, you know, the rest is history. So
God bless her for knowing better.
Yeah, 100%, man. Mm-hmm. Dave Rickards is here. We're almost out of time, but this has been the quickest hour of radio I think we've ever done, because you have a pro like Dave Rickards in here that just carries our ass for an entire hour.
Yeah, I'm probably supposed to tease what's coming up on the program tomorrow, but I feel like whatever it is going to be a massive disappointment. 100%.
Let's
just
replay this. Let's replay this.
Early in the show tomorrow.
Early in the show tomorrow.
Who missed it because they had to go to work at 9 a.m. This is our 6 o'clock hour tomorrow. Unless Roki Sasaki announces a decision you know, between now and 6 a.m., we may have to replay this tomorrow. I know they always say you don't want to meet your heroes, because they always disappoint. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Dave, we really appreciate
you so much.
You coming in, and this was a real treat for us and the audience. And I know a lot of your audience that's in here as well that really miss you guys on the air. But as Wood said earlier, thank you for stepping aside and giving other people a chance at some point.
Finally make some money. I mean, Jesus, I was never going to sniff a ratings bonus as long as this guy was on the radio. So,
go get him.
We miss you, certainly, thanks so much for doing this. This has been an incredible, incredible treat.
I'm flattered to be invited. Thank you very much.
Just a warning, when you walk out that door, you know what's going to happen. All the salespeople who heard you were in here are going to have to go glad hand you and see what's going on.
I'm glad to meet them.
We'll try to protect you as you walk out, but thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
That's the music. It means it's time for us to go. Annie and Elston are coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for our executive producer, Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods and Dave Rickards.
Wow, Dave Rickards.
That was really cool. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.